Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse. I'm your host, of course, Charisse Alexander, here on the Inspired Choices Network. So today, as we continue in the month of love, what I'll be maybe inviting you to consider, this is maybe more for women and men, if you're listening, that's great. I would love your feedback on some of what I will propose as thoughts and ideas here. But today, the theme of the conversation is he pulled away and I stayed with myself. When a man pulls away, the instinct for many of us is to reach, explain, reassure, or try to restore connection at all costs. I know that instinct as well because I've definitely lived it. Today, I'm talking about men in general. I'm talking about my experience specifically and what it feels like in my body when someone I care about creates distance, and how I learned the difference between emotional regulation and emotional abandonment. Today, I'm bringing to you some honest thoughts that I've had and the stories that we tell ourselves when connection shifts, the nervous system responses that get activated, and the subtle ways that we can lose ourselves in trying to maintain closeness. I'll also explore what pulling away can mean, and just as importantly, what it doesn't. Today's episode is about discernment, self-trust, learning, and how to stay rooted in yourself, even when someone else becomes unavailable. Not as strategy, not as a test, but as an act of self-respect. If you've ever wondered whether to wait, reach out, or walk away, this is an episode that is an invitation to listen more closely to yourself. So let's set the container. For those of you that are listening today, have you ever felt you're in a connection with someone, you're really vibing them, and then you can feel the energy shift? You can't explain it. You don't know why. It's not like there's a fight or any type of conflict, but you can feel when they pull away. They might shut down. They might get really silent, or even if there is communication, there's just something energetically that you can feel within that. And I remember, and I'll be honest, I still do this, when it's like I go into my headspace and I start to ask myself a lot of questions, and not the productive kind that like bring me clarity, but the kind of questions that really amplify anxiety. Like, what did I do? Did I do something? Did I do something and he's mad and he doesn't want to tell me, and I'm trying to like read his mind, and like, yeah, I'm not really trying to read his mind, but I'm reading into the silence or the energetic disconnect that's going on. And it's really disconcerting for the nervous system because, you know, you're amplifying it. It's almost like this crescendo of energy that starts to like really take over and, you know, encourage us to act in ways that are just outside of yourself. So normally in the past, when I would feel that energy coming up within me, and even as I recall it now, like in my first significant relationship, which was with my ex-husband, I remember I would just be like on him, like white on rice. And I would just be like, what's wrong? What did I do? What's wrong? You're so silent. Come talk to me, you know, so on and so forth. And just kind of going all over, like just going overboard with needing this connection. And it took me many, many years to realize that like what I was doing was trying to create a sense of control so I could create this sense of stability within my world. And he never responded positively to that. It was almost like, I don't know if you guys have had this feeling, but like when somebody's got this real desperate kind of energy and it's just like, you absolutely repel it. You're just like, this is too much. I don't love this. Push the person away. And that's inevitably what would happen. And then my feelings would get hurt. And then here come the stories. He doesn't love me. He doesn't care about me. He's divorcing me. Like, I mean, I could get really, really crazy with, you know, the stories that I would begin to tell myself. And because we were so young when we got married, I didn't have the language and neither did he to like explain what was like really going on. And it wasn't until many years later when I read the books, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, that I started to understand the stress responses that men and women go through just individually. And this is not a carte blanche. This is not, allow me to be very clear. Today is not about pigeonholing men or women into one category or another. I am simply speaking and solely speaking from my own experience and my own observations. But what I read in the conversations with, or sorry, not conversations, the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus books was that men and women, generally speaking, have very different responses to stress. Physiologically, they might be the same, but behaviorally, they're very different. So women, we generally speaking, when we are stressed, we want to create more contact, more connection, more talking, more openness, more something, and usually with our person in our lives. Men are practically the exact opposite. They go into their cave and they want to like figure it out. And if there's not effective communication, this can really exacerbate the stress for either party in the relationship. And I remember, if I take myself kind of back to like those moments, I wasn't even cognizant enough to like realize, actually, that's not true. As I moved out of that connection with my ex-husband and moved into a new connection, I do remember beginning to like ask myself those really critical and important questions. And the first one that became cognizant was, have I felt like this before? And the answer was obviously yes. But more importantly, have I felt like this before? Is the awareness like, okay, either I'm attracting the same type of person or personality, or it's me. And I don't mean that I'm the problem. It was more like, okay, this is something that I need to work on and settle within myself. And I would find myself then asking, well, what does this moment remind me of emotionally? So just imagine being in that space and place of feeling like you're losing connection with the person that you're with, either through silence or distance or just some kind of friction, and recognizing that this has happened before in previous connections, but more than romantic connections, more like, well, where did I feel this first? When's the first time in my life I remember feeling this? And like most things in my experience, I realized that like it went all the way back to like being a kid. And again, not blaming parents for the way they showed up. My parents were fully busy with working and providing us like all kinds of opportunities, and they certainly were not, having the time in their life to like ponder, gee, I wonder if I'm hurting Charisse's feelings by focusing on whatever. But I realized that like as kids, we tell ourselves stories. So, if you take yourself back to a time in your life where you might have been vying for your parents' attention and they're busy doing whatever it is they do, as parents often are, like they're busy doing all their things and they're not fully engaged in the conversation. And this is where we begin to tell our stories. So it's like you're taking that old story that's on loop in your mind, and now we're pasting it over the experience that we are now having in a romantic sense, and then drudging up all of this stuff from the past. In terms of like, they don't love me, they don't care about me, I'm worthless, I'm not gonna, the stories, we don't need to rehash them. And how did this make me feel? And I think that when we take a zoom out of what that looks like, It made me feel isolated. It made me feel like I wasn't worthy, any of these things. And so the more I would try to create that connection, the more I would find that my significant other would pull away, which kind of makes sense. Like, even if I think about it, when people are really coying for my attention and my effort and my energy, I don't know why, but it's this, I can't even explain it. I'll dig into that another day. But I know the feeling of when somebody is really trying really hard to create connection, and it just almost like does the exact opposite and pushes me in the other direction. And so that was the conscious piece, or the piece, the stories that would be going on in my mind. But more importantly than that, the question then would be, and I didn't ponder it in those moments. I was only pondering it recently when, preparing for this episode. It's like, what happened to my inner state, right? Because remember, if you've heard me before on this podcast, you've heard me say that I'm generally speaking someone who doesn't outwardly react. All the chaos and craziness is often within. And so when I would think about like what that would feel like in my body, it was like a nervousness. Because again, the story that's going on, like we're breaking up or he's going to leave me or all this other kind of stuff. So I'm trying to create like this really solid foundation, and I can't because someone's not participating in the way I have an expectation of them to participate. So it's creating all of this dis-ease in my body and often in my stomach, like very. Like your gut. This is why your gut is actually a psychic center. But I would feel all of this anxiety in my stomach, like literally sick to my stomach, because I couldn't get a sense of stability in that moment. And again, this person's not doing anything other than processing their own stuff. But I am like in this whirling dervish of an experience, and not able to pull myself out of it at this point. And it was like this urgency that it was just like, if I could draw it out, it was like this, it started out as a thought, like just a single idea. And then it, if you can visualize this, it's like creating this energy and this life of its own that eventually becomes like this emotional chaos internally. And so my instinctive response would be to become, like I said, very cloying, very overbearing, like just creating a tizzy for myself. And so what I eventually had to learn was, how do I pull myself out of that? How do I begin to create some calm and some peace? And it's crazy, even as I'm reliving this with you, like this is how crazy this actually is. Like, I'm just telling you a story and reflecting on the past, and it is creating the exact same feeling of anxiety in my body, which is nuts. That just goes to show that your brain doesn't know the difference between past, present, and future. It is reliving an experience that I'm not living at this moment in time, but I can feel it all in my body, which is, so that should tell you how much this create, like how much dissonance it created within my system. So I had to learn how to begin to pull myself out of that. How to deactivate my body, how to like just bring a sense of calm and peace into my world. And even as I'm saying that to you, I can feel the anxiety of that, like just kind of receding, and begin to learn, what does it mean to stay with myself? What does it mean to like honor that the other person is going through their own stuff and their own requirement of self? I don't know what's going on with them. I'm telling myself stories that just quite simply may or may not be true. And I think that the very conscious journey with this actually began with the book, I Need Your Love, Is That True? And that book is by Byron Katie. And I found this book to actually be really, really challenging the first time that I read it, because it forces you to ask yourself questions that challenge the ideas in your head. And it really forces you out of being very myopic in your experience. So very, we look at what people are doing. So this doesn't even have to be romantic. This could be any relationship. And she uses a ton of examples to like highlight the point of how we're going into an interaction or experience through our lens and our story, and the other person is doing the same thing. And based on what that interaction is, we walk away having a whole drama and trauma that we're telling ourselves. And the book phrases things in a way that you really are forced to drill down and get to like what the real story is. So if you find yourself on a journey where you spend a lot of time in your head and you don't know how to ask these questions, because I know that I say a lot of times, like, you got to ask yourself some really juicy questions. You got to ask yourself some really juicy questions. You might be saying to yourself, like, I don't even know what that means. And I don't even know what questions to ask. That book is a great place to start. I Need Your Love by Byron Katie, because she will show you how to ask those questions and how to stay with yourself within those things that begin to come up. We are going to talk more about the things or the path and the journey that I started to take to learn how to stay with myself and what that really, really meant right after this break. We will be right back here on the Inspired Choices Network.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am covering and sharing stories of when he pulled away, I learned to stay with myself. And really, what this is not necessarily specifically, like, I'm relating it in terms of like romantic relationships. And the focus, really, to be honest with you, is because we're in February and it's the month of love. So a lot of the content this month is around creating that love and that relationship with yourself, and not in the way where we are. Now, there's a difference when you are doing this from a place of anger, fear, low vibe, judgment, shame, all of this other kind of stuff, and then making these choices and really rooting yourself in like a very heart-centered and grounded way. And that is ultimately what I'm talking about here. When I say that he pulled away, I learned to stay with myself. What I'm saying is, when he pulled away, I learned how to calm myself down and to not spin out of control and just hold space for when he or that other person was ready to like engage with me. And a lot of ways, it also gave me the permission to process the way that I need to process. So what I learned from a previous relationship, you know, in that interaction, my significant other processed conflict in a very different way. And I think that I was trying to force that as well, right? Like force clarity. And what I mean when I say that is that in that really first significant relationship of my life, whenever conflict would come up, my ex would just be like, we got to talk about it now. We got to talk about it now. And we'd like go around in this circle and to the point that it was exhausting. And I remember there would be times where I would try to just kind of take a moment to like create some understanding within myself and like calm myself down or whatever the case may be. And I would always say to him, I'm like, geez, it's like you're interrogating me, right? And he's just trying to get to the answer, and I'm just trying to create some calm within me. And so when I moved on to the next relationship, I'm taking this way now that I've been conditioned to work through problems and now apply it to this new situation or this new relationship and any issues that would come up, because I'm expecting this other person to like back me into a corner and force out answers out of me. And he wasn't at all like that. He was the exact opposite, which is what allowed me to like have this, I guess, permission. So it was totally okay for me to do the same because that's actually my natural style. I am not actually someone who really likes to take my ideas, like when I'm tussling with something. Even though I said that most women are like that, there was a time in my life when, yes, I was like that. But those years are no longer present in my life. I rarely will seek out women, other women, and a sense of community to like try and, peel back the layers of things, right? I really prefer to like internally process. And that I think was the biggest transition. I think that was actually the transition. No, it's not right or wrong. It's not good or bad. It's just what was necessary for me in order to begin to learn how to stay with myself and not staying within myself in terms of I'm angry at this person now and that's, fine and taking my toys and going home, but more from the space of like, I gotta really learn how to like calm my own self down and not like expect this peace to come from with like outside of myself. And that's really what this journey is how do I begin to create peace within myself instead of like having this expectation that my significant other is going to do it for me. And the truth of the matter is he tried. There would be times where, we would get in these little battles. And I remember, we're going to bed and I love that we honor this rule, which is kind of like we don't go to bed angry. And we might still like have not fully worked through something, but I'm still not going to hold the anger in my heart. Like I can't. Well, I shouldn't say it never happens. I should say it rarely happens. But I remember in the early parts of our relationship, he would say to me things like, I should really make this better for you, which was a really beautiful sentiment. And I you said as much, like, oh, that's really nice of you. I love that. I love that for me, and I love that you want to do that for me. But I was like, I don't want a relationship where you can pull my strings that easy. And I don't want that relationship with anybody. I don't want anybody to have that kind of control or power over my internal world. It's too personal and it's too important to me that I never want to give over that kind of power. So I said to him, I'm like, that is such a lovely sentiment, but really, this is for me to sort out. And thank you so, so much, but no, thank you. And so what I began to do instead when he would, go quiet, I would really pay attention to the things that I would be doing. So every time I wanted to call, every time I wanted to send a text message, and I would ask myself, I'm like, what's motivating this? Why do I want to call him right now? And I realized that it was to create that sense of security because the truth is like if I ever really needed something, I could absolutely call or say or reach out and say, like, I really need a hug right now. If that's what I needed. But that was often not what I needed. It was just like feeling into this space that he needed something for himself. And I was interpreting that as there is something else going on. So this is where that relationship with self really, really deepened for me, because I really would just kind of go in and ask myself like all these questions, like, you know, why, what's motivating this real reason here? Like, and what's, why do I need this? Was really often the biggest question. And there was inevitably discomfort that I would have to sit in. And then, you know, it would be like, well, when do you remember feeling this in the past? And is that true? That's often a question that Byron Katie poses in her book, I Need Your Love. Is that true? You know, is there any truth to this? Is there possibly something else that's at play here that I'm not seeing? And often the case is that there is. So there were a lot of times when I would just be sitting in this discomfort, and I don't want to say wallowing in it, but really doing a lot of internal reflection around what was really going on. And I think that what surprised me the most, and the truth of the matter is like, this was a really, really long journey for me. This took probably, I think what surprised me the most is how long it took to genuinely create that sense of peace and calm within me. And even now, as I reflect on, you know, that going from the spiraling and the crash out to really just kind of a space and place of being okay. And I'll be really honest, it happened today. And, you know, I was getting ready for the day and I could feel the anxiety like on my chest. And this is one of those moments. The questions have definitely, they've evolved. I think they've gotten a little more sophisticated. And ultimately, the answers that come to me are more layered. So as an example, today, I was creating some anxiety within myself about the future. And so I'm asking myself, I'm like, why am I feeling this? And this is how the mind works, right? Because I'm like, why, like this that I'm feeling today, like why, like where is this coming from? Like there's zero in my conscious world that I can see that would be a reason for this, like at least a sound reason, like nothing, absolutely nothing. And so when I'm like asking myself, like, where is this coming from? Like, first of all, does this energy belong to me? Yeah, sure does. Okay. So this is what it looks like. That's why I'm doing this. And then the next question was, so I would say like, okay, it's coming from me, but like, where is it coming from? Is it real? So in other words, is there really a reason that I'm feeling this, or is this a story? And the answer was, you know, that comes to me, and this is how we begin to develop and exercise that muscle with your intuition and your inner voice. Like your, and I'm not talking about your ego self. I'm talking about your higher self, your wiser self, your all-knowing self. And even now, as I'm like acknowledging it, I can feel it receding. And it was like the idea that had come to me is like, you are looking at like this next, you know, chapter of your life, we'll say, but you're, there's still remnants of the past that you're recalling, that you're reliving and creating this experience that hasn't even happened yet. And this is how energy works, right? So nothing's happened, nothing consciously, like literally nothing, but I'm already feeling into it. But this is me creating this feeling from recalling the past, living it in the present, and now projecting it into the future. And this is how we begin to create these patterns and these self-fulfilling prophecies of conflict, right? Conflict and things that we don't enjoy. So I was reminded that that's just a story. It's, yes, a past event, something that did happen, but I have control out over how I respond and the energy that I choose to put out and where I choose to put my energy within this. And even again, as I say it and I acknowledge it, I can feel like the anxiety around that, like just kind of softening into it, right? So that's why I'm, and I love that this is happening like in real time, like actually in this moment, so you can see and understand that, you know, it's the biggest wounds that obviously take the longest time to like get over. And I feel no way about saying quite honestly and openly that my biggest wound has always been around like worthiness and value always. And it shows up in all areas of in my life, from work to family to friendship to romantic relationships, absolutely everything. So it's because it's like a major wound for me, and very likely you too. It seems to me to be a pretty common one, that it will show itself often and in all kinds of ways. And I think the other reason why it's particularly showing up now is, again, because we're in those last waning days and weeks, sorry, weeks and days of that energy and that cycle of the snake, Chinese zodiac, right? Ending the year of the snake and moving into the year of the horse. And so I'm really honoring this place and space in my life. And so instead of getting frustrated with the fact that this old pattern is rising up within me, I can certainly celebrate that, like, I didn't freak out. I didn't crash out. I didn't do any of the things that I used to do in terms of like frantically messaging or calling or like, you know, just kind of having this whole energetic crazy making. I'm really just going within and sitting with myself and inquiring with myself, what's really going on here? So I'm going to bring this all home for you when we move into our next segment after this break. And what I'm going to do to hopefully get this to like really kind of settle in is contrast old pattern and the new choice and how that looks again in real time. We will be right back after this break.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. Just going to pause here for a moment and say that if you are enjoying the content that I am bringing every single Wednesday, please go to your favorite listening or watching platform and give me a 5-star review. And as always, if you have questions or comments or content ideas, or even want to be a guest, send me an email, Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. That's Charisse at Pavitra leadership.com. I know it's a mouthful. So right before the break, I was highlighting those transitions with like an experience that's happening right now in this moment, where I was saying that, you know, I felt some anxiety that was coming up within me this morning. I tuned into myself first and foremost, and I asked, okay, is this my energy? The answer I got was yes. I then asked, like, okay, is this real or is this perceived? The answer I got was perceived, and the kind of based on just past events that for no reason, and this is how it goes sometimes, there's like zero reason that I can see. And that's the thing about this, right? My significant other hasn't done anything. I don't even feel like an energetic pull away. And that's how this stuff sometimes happens, right? Like there's nothing that necessarily is triggering this, but, you know, other than me recalling some past event and like getting pulled into a story that is just not at all the truth. But I mean, I think it's just because also I say that there's nothing triggering me, but as I think about it, it's a pattern that I can witness that sometimes in our connection, when it comes up, it takes us as a unit down this road that I don't enjoy. So I think there's probably some triggers that are going on with that that have me like really thinking about it and really feeling into it. I know that doesn't make sense. Maybe it does make sense to you, maybe it doesn't. But I think even though I say like there's nothing, I realize that there's the innocent triggers that happen that help us recall the past and put us down this road of reliving things that are not happening right now. So the old version of me, as I said, would spin out, crash out, whatever you want to call it, and be in a internal tizzy where I want to call, I want to text, I want to see him, I want to just like wrap myself around him and be as close as possible to like create this sense of security. And the new choice that I make is to stay with myself and get really clear on what is going on within me. And it doesn't mean that I don't call or text or go see him or whatever the case may be. There's lots of times where I'm going through it and I'll just walk out to him and be like, I need a hug. Or I'll just send a text message or whatever the case may be. But the difference being that I'm not doing, and this is the key difference, I'm recognizing the difference between the anxiety fueled reaction and the one that is about human connection. And that's a big difference. The anxiety fueled reaction, and for those of you who really are resonating with what I'm talking about today, the anxiety fueled reaction is very frenzied. You can feel it in your thoughts, in your chest, in your belly. It's like this, the only way that I can see it, it's like this crescendo, right? Like it just feels very frenzied. The one that is about human connection is just like, I really would love some love and support from this person right now. I could really use a hug or connection or any of these things. And those are two very, very different reasons for reaching out. One is driven by fear. The other is driven by love. Two totally different ways of responding. And I find that when I began to show up in the latter, then what it allowed for me to do, a few things really unfolded quite beautifully. When I shifted that energy, because if I'm feeling the energy, then that means like I'm literally sending out a beacon of that kind of energy to him or the other person as well. And so I found that the more I went internal and began to build that peace within myself, it was like giving him permission energetically and saying energetically, it's okay. I can honor your space and your desire to like process whatever it is that you're processing, and I'll be here holding space for you when you can come out of your cave. And that's legitimately the way that, oh my gosh, I forgot his name. I think it's John Gray. I just remember the title of the book, but the Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus series, you know, men really, generally speaking, need that time to like come up with a solution and figure it out on their own. And they don't need, at least my partner does not need me in there, in his energy, in his headspace, being like, do you need my help? Do you need my help? Do you need my help? It basically is saying to him, like, I don't trust that you can figure this out on your own. And just recognizing that there's plenty of evidence in my experience with him where he does trust me and he does ask me for help when he wants it. And when he asks for it, I'll volunteer, I'll give it to him. But until that point in time, I'm going to trust that he can sort through his mental and his emotional and his physical and energetic space on his own. And anything other than that is like undermining his own sovereign authority to manage himself. And how insulting is that? Like, think about that energetically, right? Like, and this was like really the shift for me. And it was definitely one of my coaches that had said it to me, but this was actually the real big shift for me. When they said that, you know, when somebody is like processing and going through their thoughts, their feelings, their whatever stuff is coming up for them, my desire to like push and push and push and push and push, what is that really rooted in? Is it really rooted in a desire to help that person? Or is it really rooted in the desire to like create security for myself? And as soon as I realized that I could energetically, because I would always say to him, like, I'm here if you need me. Like, and I would keep my heart space open. I would energetically still be open, but I would almost be beaming out, like, I trust you that when you need me, you will let me know. I say it, I embody it, I beam that out energetically. And as soon as I would do that, whether he was cognizant of it or not, he would just come to me on his own. There was like no more magic or mystery in it. Ha ha, surprise. As soon as I was just able to like give the space, but hold the container, then it softened the edges of him putting up these walls of like not wanting to include me in like whatever it is that he's going through. And when he does come forward, I just listen. And if he asks me for help, then I even offer, like, how do you want that help? How do you want that suggestion? Do you want me to be direct? Do you want me, like, how do you want me to show up in this? Right? Because, like, some people just want to bounce ideas off of you, right? Some people just need to talk it out. And then they come to the solution by talking it out. Everybody processes their own internal or worldly conflict in very different ways. And I think that just kind of navigating this with even like my own family relationships and how people want us to show up or how they would like us to show up really just kind of gets them to like choose their own adventure of the type of version of me that they want. So, you know, it was really quite a game changer. In terms of, I think, the dynamics in our experience, because it's like I softened and then he softened. I calmed down and he comes in or feels safe enough to come in and be vulnerable. When I didn't panic, then it felt like neither did he. So it's almost like, and people sometimes like when I'm talking to people about things such as this, the question I often get is, why do I need to do all of this? And I'm going to say the same thing to them that I'm going to propose here, which is because you have the awareness. That's why. If what I'm saying resonates with you, if it doesn't, leave it and continue doing whatever it is that you're doing and or, you know, whatever. But if this is really landing with you in how you show up and it feels like something that might resonate for you and how you navigate through these moments of silence within your connections, then try it and see what happens. Because the observation and the experience that ensued for me was that as soon as I just relaxed, everything else around me also relaxed. Everything went from being really activated and really elevated down to something that was so much more manageable and so much calmer. And I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and the other thing that emerged was not only a deeper intimacy with myself, but there's this calm, this peace, this really not worrying about, okay, so with the exception of today, but again, I'm human. So even within that, I'm not upset about it. I'm not beating myself up. I'm not, you should know bettering about it. I'm just kind of staying with it and, you know, working through different scenarios in my mind. And honoring that this is what healing looks like. Some days are really, really awesome and feel really juicy. And that doesn't mean that today's not a juicy day. It just means I can feel some stuff that I need to work through. But what inevitably happens is that there's this newfound confidence within self, this newfound trust within self, this newfound intimacy with self, because I learned to stay with myself and create this sense of calm and peace for me. And what also emerged, interestingly enough, was a new intimacy within my connection, which we're going to talk about a little bit more when we come back from our final break. We will be right back here on the Inspired Choices Network.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse@PavitraLeadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am talking about when he pulled away, I learned to stay with myself, and just kind of sharing not only some past experiences with what that journey to self really looked like, but one that's happening today in real time, and what that looks like, what that feels like, the questions I go through and how I can begin to, like, you know, allow those feelings to recede. So today I've been sharing a lot around the comparison of how I would respond when that distance would occur, and moving into the space and place of just internalizing it, and not in the negative way, but really asking myself what's really true in this scenario. And how I can see without collapsing, how I can have the experience without falling beneath the weight of whatever is going on. And right before we went to break, the point that I was making was around the newfound intimacy that I found with myself, that instead of reaching out from a place of needing to create this stability and certainty, that instead I began to have this stability and certainty within myself. And that instead of chasing someone who was going through their own thing, that I was consciously choosing to create a container where they could meet me there, a safe space, a sacred space, where they could meet me there and they could be open and they could be vulnerable. But that was only present with me softening. Because when I started to look at, you know, these scenarios where the inverse would be happening, where I was pulling away, where I was processing, where he was feeling into that energy and responding to it, he would say things like, you know, are you okay? You seem quiet. Like, is something wrong? You know, and I would do what lots of women do. And I would be like, yeah, I'm fine. And not angry, but eventually where I started going with that instead was, I'm processing something. And I don't have all the answers around it yet, but when I know, you'll be the first to know. And that keeps that communication piece alive, because is it so far-fetched to believe that if I go into this frenzy. Is it possible that sometimes the same thing happens to him as well? And so now what I do that's also different is if I find myself particularly emotional at any particular phase where, you know, there's particularly heavy energy that might be within the sphere of my experience, I'll talk to him before he even asks. I will, like, if I find that I'm very emotional or very sensitive or things like that, I will say, you know what, I'm really emotional right now. I'm really grappling with some things that have come into my awareness, just realizations, right? Nothing, again, it's rarely things that are like earth shattering that are happening. It's usually epiphanies that are coming into my awareness and that I need to process. But I find that if I preempt it, then I'm creating a safe space before his mind has the opportunity to go there. So I'm letting him know, if you happen to feel me shift, if you happen to feel me pull away, just know that it's not you. It's this other thing, whatever it might be. And maybe I'll have the answer and I can share that with him. And if I don't have the answer, then I say again, you know, I'll share it with you when I have more information. And as soon as I, again, stopped having this really frenzied, prolonged energy of chasing and forcing and controlling, it opened the space for him to come in and join me there. And in that restraint, we were really able to like deepen intimacy in a way that is just, it's so quiet. I was trying to describe it to somebody the other day. And, you know, this was like maybe the epiphany that I had recently, is that for some reason I thought intimacy was like going to come with this fanfare and bells and whistles and banners and celebrations. And like, I don't know why I get these ideas that everything is like really loudly announced, but it wasn't. It was like this quiet sense of like, I've got you and you've got me. This real, like, I don't even question it anymore. And that was the biggest difference. And I think that by me not questioning it, that reverberates through the energetic cords to him, where it's saying, I don't question you anymore. I don't question like the silence, the distance, any of those things. I trust that when you are ready to, when you have more clarity in your head, and it's, again, it's not going to be a big announcement. It's not going to be something like, hey, by the way, I was like really quiet last week and now I've like figured it out and let's have a big long drawn out. Now, it's never like that. It's just like, he'll say something and it'll make more sense about where this came from. So it's like, I cannot emphasize enough how powerful the cords can be to the people that we love, the energetic cords. So often what I will do is I will just send love to him and send understanding and almost like wrap him in an energetic hug so that he knows that like, I'm here. I'm here. You're loved, you're supported, you're guided, you're all of these things. And in just like not the physical piece of that, but like just in the really energetic piece of providing support without saying it, it opened up so, so beautifully. And like I said, this new intimacy emerged that is just like solidly quiet, quietly solid, both. And it just, I don't know, it's like this peace. Imagine that. As soon as I got peaceful, it feels more peaceful. So as we are winding down in the last few minutes here today, I leave you with some things to consider. What does staying with yourself mean to you? How can you begin to create that today? In any of your relationships where you find that you move into this energy of trying to control and trying to be, you know, really shape the narrative of what's going on, can you begin to like release some of that control and surrender and like lean into yourself? And how do you want to respond the next time someone pulls away? Think about that. What could you do differently to begin to open up the energy so that they can come into it feeling safe? And what kind of, if you could speak, well, guess we're out of time today. So with that, I leave you with those thoughts and wish you a beautiful day. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.